Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Paranormal Horizons. My name is Maria Wilson Duff, and I am joined with psychic medium Sherry. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good right now. Thank you, Maria. Just coming
back
on tour for one day, and it's just been hot, tired, and humid. That's a good way to describe the day.
Now you know what my July has been full of, hot, humid weather, and all you have to do is walk outside and sweat. You don't have to do anything else.
Oh, my gosh. Well, when you're out in the hot pavement, you know, and everybody's kind of looking and everything, it's interesting. A lot of people watching today. So, yeah, how was your week, Maria?
It was good. I was on vacation the week before last and had planned on joining the show the past couple of weeks that we've had it, but I worked outside all day long and I laid down and I fell asleep and I didn't wake up till the show was over. So today I did not lay down.
That's okay. It happens to the best of us. Oh, wow.
That's great.
Anyway, good thing I covered for you.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Good thing you're available. Yes.
Yeah,
it
and it's
wonderful.
Good that we can, you know, before we even go live on air, we're texting each other or have our Facebook or texting each other behind the scenes so that, you know, if we have any technical difficulties or no shows, Maria, like last week, I said, Jason says, Maria, are you there? And I'm looking at the text and I'm like, uh-oh. So I called in, and then and that's when Jason said, "Hey, I'm glad you're on."
Yeah, at least somebody decided to show up. But we have a wonderful guest this evening,
he's
a friend of yours.
What's the numbers we're reached now? I think we are up over 5,000-6,000 followers since last Sunday. I think Jason was saying about a week ago we were only at 15,000. So where are we at, Maria? We were just talking about that earlier.
20,673 people follow our page. And the funny part about that is it's absolutely none of that is paranormal. We just put stuff out there. We want to make you laugh. That's all we want to do. If you get offended, I'm sorry. Just keep scrolling. You'll find something that is funny.
That's true. And I even pinned up a disclaimer that it is for entertainment purposes only. And like I said, and you said, that if we can just bring a smile or a laugh today, for a day, just, you know, it's great. Because, you know, things can be very, very serious and very solemn if you look at it that way. So, but, yeah, it's all good. And I want to really introduce, tonight we're going to have, we're going to extend our show an hour and a half. We've got a very first-time guest. His name is Wayne Snellgrove, I believe. He's going to have to probably correct me on that. But, he's Indigenous, and he is from Canada. And I connected with him on a soul level. I connected with him on right away. I have talked to him a couple times. Just a beautiful soul. And I really wanted him to be on our show because we have so much wealth of information, learning, wisdom, and things like that, experiences. And he also has a new book coming out. So we're going to just go for an hour and a half and kind of run the gamut, and we don't have any particular subject in, at hand, but we're just going to roll with it, Maria.
Sounds good. Let's bring Wayne on right now.
Okay.
Wayne?
Hi.
Wayne, can you hear me? There he is.
Yes. Yes, I can hear you. Thanks for having me on.
Yes. Welcome to Paranormal Horizons, Wayne.
Thank you. Quickly, before
we start getting into the meat of everything, just quickly introduce yourself and we'll go from there.
Oh, my name is Wayne William Snowgroup. I come from Fishing Lake First Nation, Saskatchewan, Canada. That's kind of in southern Saskatchewan. I am a 60s scoop survivor. That means the Canadian government had a policy of assimilation where they stole babies from healthy homes and communities, and they put them into foster care and orphanages. And so that's where I kind of ended up. And I ended up in the States with a white American family. And I started walking what we indigenous called the affectionately called the Red Road about 30 years ago. I've been an elder down in Florida, which is where I live, and I've been walking with him for about 30 years. And so I've been studying and learning and more studying. This is kind of where I'm at right now. So in back at home right now with my indigenous for summer. So thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Maria, let me ask you, are you hearing him? He kind of he was cutting in and out a little bit. Are you hearing that same thing?
Yeah, I heard that just a little bit.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay, so maybe, yeah, if it happens again, maybe I will have Wayne move around or something.
You're
kind of cutting in and out a little bit. So,
let me ask you, Wayne,
curiously, why was it that they took babies from their homes, and what was the purpose on that? I don't understand.
The purpose of that was, it was a policy of assimilation. It was trying to take the Indian away from the Indian to assimilate them into white culture, white society, colonial culture. So that's kind of, you know, the noble culture then to take his children. So that was the belief back then. So.
Oh, wow. Now, how many children do you think among not just yourself, but how many children do you think are biologically displaced?
Oh, I'm guessing between 20 and 40,000 probably. They called it the 60s group, but it really started in the 50s and kind of ended up in the early late 80s, early 90s, where they just stopped that policy. They have since renamed it and continued to do so, but that particular brand, that particular style, which they took children under, that policy no longer exists. It was a legislative policy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, and I'm adopted. I can say Jason and I are adopted children. My husband's adopted. My dog's adopted. We're orphans. But anyway, I was in an orphanage for 2.5 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Very similar.
That's why when you say you were adopted, I can relate to you. I mean, I'm just like, I know. Yeah, definitely.
And like I said earlier,
I just found out myself probably a couple months. Actually, October, my oldest daughter did a DNA test. My oldest biological daughter did a DNA test, And she came out, I mean, biologically, because we, you know, I was brought up with Chinese parents, and she, her, my ex-husband, who has crossed over now, was she, when my side, particularly because I'm adopted, she, the genes were 42% Vietnamese and 8% Mongolian. I did my DNA, yes, and I did my DNA test. It came back about 2 months ago. Mine came out 82% Vietnamese, 82% Vietnamese and 15% Mongolian. So
wow.
I was not adopted by, I mean, even though I was adopted by Chinese, I'm not Chinese at all. There's no Chinese in my blood.
Wow. Wow. Interesting. Interesting.
So
yeah.
It was kind of a shocker. I said, I'm shocked. I posted that on Facebook. I said, I'm shocked, but no, I understand why now. I never really connected with the Chinese culture, to be honest with you, ever since, you
sure.
know. I mean, here I am adopted, considering my mom and my, you know, their soul, my soul parents and everything, that, you know, but
right.
it's interesting
right.
because I really never, honestly, on a soul level, never connected to the Chinese culture, let alone.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's why after finding that out, it's like everything makes sense now. It's like having the pieces of puzzles, never feel like I'm fitting in and everything. Now it's starting
right.
to, the pieces of the puzzles are trying to, you know, get together. You know, they're fitting in. They make sense.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, I can't hear you.
Oh, I was just agreeing with you. Part of my puzzle is, never really fit either, and it's, you know, we just have to find our place in the circle, as they say.
Yeah, and just be comfortable in not only in your own skin. This is what I'm finding out, and it seems like our paths are very similar, except you have been more extensive as far as your path and your spiritual, you know, how long you've been going at it and everything, but you know, I find that no matter what, you know, you just have to, you have to connect to source. You got to connect to the creator. You got to connect to your ancestors. And, you know, ever since I personally had witnessed that exorcism, my life has changed. Like I was saying to you, a couple months back or whatever. But, you know, it's like, yeah, I live on Indian territory, and I really, really connect with the natives. I really do. It's just they I'm their voice, and they're just amazing. And I know you are a wonderful writer yourself. I mean, it's like you're getting messages also too, and I'm looking forward to buying your book.
Oh, thank you. Yes, thank you. Yes. You know, it's connection to spirit, that's so vital for spiritual existence. You know, I do live in this world where we're basically just connected, and you know, we're trying to make a go of it, and problems, personal problems, family problems, community, national problems, they all stem from not being connected to spirit, you know, not being connected to. And what I mean by spirit is it's the indigenous belief, it's the things that I've been taught, is that all things have spirit. All things that have life have spirit. Mother Earth has spirit. Stones have spirit. You know, the leaves, the trees, the animals, the birds, you know, they all carry beautiful message. They all carry a beautiful voice, beautiful medicine, and it's that, the whole, that we're disconnected from. And I think if we learn to connect, a little bit more, then this world would be a much, much better place. You know, much
so
softer.
What do you think is the cause of disconnect, Wayne?
Oh, well, geez, all right, this may be a 3-hour, this may have to be a 3-hour, so,
See, I told you, you never know what this conversation is going to lead
the
to.
Cologne,
we
well,
can go back and
no, talk. Let's just talk briefly about this. What disconnects us, you know? Attachments, material possessions, the need to sustain more material possessions, and the need to ignore those things that really help guide us. They help guide us, you know. Money is a necessary evil. I would consider that energy. You know, we all kind of need it. We all kind of have to have it. We all, you know, to survive in this world. That's what we mean. However, what we need desperately more is, again, it's simple connection to spirit, simple connection to Mother Earth. I help all the time, especially now. It's summer. It's hot. Take your shoes off. Go outside. Walk in the woods and just feel what's going on with your feet. Leave your phone at home. Leave all those gadgets at home, the iPads, they have new wristwatches now. It's like Star Trek now. It's just leave all that stuff at home. Get out there. Get connected. Feel. We live in a feeling universe that no longer has forgotten how to feel. We've forgotten how to feel. We forgot to feel the right things. We feel all the wrong things. We feel the stuff that's going on CNN, the stuff that's going on Fox, the stuff that's going on, you know, when we're scrolling through our Facebook, the stuff that we're seeing, you know, all the, I mean, that's good in really small doses, just for informational purposes, but for a much larger purpose, disconnecting from the colonial world and reconnecting to the real world. The nature, the love that you feel. We're so disconnected. We think, you know, going to a park, it is like a zoo. You know, we treat it like a zoo. We go up to a tree. We're tourists. We're tourists on our own planet now. You know, that's the problem right there. You know.
Wow, that's a good way to describe that. Wow, tourists on your own planet. What do you think that, Maria?
I think that's about the truth. I mean, this is all done by design. Every bit of it. The social media, the distractions, the lies, all of it. And if you're not living it, then you don't know what's the truth, what you're being told, if it's a lie, if it's the truth. It's just, you know, and we don't have any type of spirituality being taught to us or anything. This is something that you come up on anymore.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's why, you know, it's when we talk to this, when I talk to groups of people that are curious or, you know, that they want to learn, you know, they almost take it as, well, they don't almost. A lot of them take it as some sort of paranormal type thinking. And it's like, you know, they're like the world is over there and I'm over here and kind of in the box, and the world is kind of in the box, and there's things going on over there which I don't understand. You know, they just talk about the trees talking, you know, the nature talking, Mother Earth talking. That's weird stuff. That's far out. You know, that's some far out stuff, you know. And they're just so conditioned to be disconnected. They're so conditioned that they think, that they really think that this is paranormal stuff. When we see spirits walking around, that's normal stuff. You know, there's things in this world that I've seen that I can't understand, but I believe in them. But I believe in them. And I ask, and I just simply ask, hi, how are you? Who are you? What are you?
what are you doing? And you know, more or less, you know, the answers are pretty basic. You know, they want to live life. They want to do their thing. Some of them haven't crossed over yet. Some of them have. Some of them are just here. And that's kind of that, you know. And it's really, for me, it's just as normal to see the sunrise and the sunset. You know, it's just and that kind of thing. But let's kind of get back to the reconnection, though. You know, the world has to reconnect in you know, a major way. And you know, the earth is suffering right now. The earth is screaming. The earth is on fire. You know, we're scrolling through, you know, whatever we got to scroll through and just kind of reading about it instead of really doing something about it, you know, really asking. And, you know, humanity has forgotten how to ask, you know. We've forgotten how to listen. You know, my late father always said, you know, it's the lost ceremony of listening. We have forgotten how to listen. You know, listening is our first form of communication, and we've forgotten how to do that. Forgotten how to listen. So, you know, when I go around, you know, I'm very, very lucky, and I'm very, very honored that I get asked to go to a lot of places and to speak on a lot of shows and invited to forums and stuff. I'm very lucky. And this is my main message. This is what Spirit has told me to share. It's power of listening, the power of stillness. We have to put down everything. We have to put our feet in the ground, and we have to actually sit still, and we've forgotten how to listen, and all those things we've forgotten how to do. You know.
We do forget it. And that's even as far as religion. You know, years ago, I live in the Bible Belt, and you know, used to everywhere you turned, you went to church every Sunday. This is what you did. You praised the Lord. You prayed to the Lord. We're not taught to pray to anybody, to the Spirit. We're losing that connection because of man and their ideas, and they want to shove this down your throat. You disconnect. I am a paranormal investigator, and I think one of the most awesome cases that I ever investigated was in Tennessee, and it had to do with the Trail of Tears, and this was an area that these people lived in. Now, I'm going to get choked up over this. The house that we went to, it was a double wide that was there, and they had quite a bit of land with them. They were not the most, they were very good to us, but they were not the type of people that you would normally associate with. I don't want to stereotype them, but anyway. So they had quite a bit of activity going on in their land, and when we were there, the house was clean, spotless. The yard looked good. And it was quite a bit of activity going on. Well, we left. And when we came back to give to them all of the evidence that we had to do the reveal, as people call it, you could tell that their normal lives had taken over since our first visit. We walked into a puppy mill type situation. It was not exactly the best place that you would want to lay your head down at night. The ground had not been mowed. There were things everywhere. Anyways, it was very, I guess I'm getting at, is that it was disrespectful. And it was after we had left, and because they were having quite a bit of problems with their adult son that was living with them. After we left, and probably about a week later, I got a picture about 5 o'clock in the morning from the daughter that was leaving to go to work, and she was scared to death. There was actually a stick sign of a trail marker in their driveway.
A stick
what kind
sign?
Of trail marker?
And
it
was like a triangle. It was like you had taken sticks and made a triangle.
Hmm.
And
okay.
Of course, so it was like a trail marker. So it broke my heart because we could not make these people understand that the way that they were living and the horrific things that had happened in the area in the past, that spirit was still there and that they needed to make a gift, a peace. They needed to make peace. They needed to respect their land.
Right, right, okay.
And people just, right. They didn't realize that. And we couldn't make them understand it. People
sure,
don't
right,
have
right.
respect for the living nor the dead.
Right, right, absolutely.
It's like
absolutely.
That everywhere in Hawaii. You know, my friends in Hawaii have a problem too. It's all over the place. It's not just, you know, any concentrated area. I think it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Terrible.
You know, there's a couple of
things. How do you?
Yeah.
I was just going to ask you, how do you teach people to get past this?
Start out very, very basic. We, well, this is, you know, in a situation like this, there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of wounds going on. And there's a lot of things. You know, there's not just one voice speaking. There's many. And to get back to the really nitty gritty. The people on the land suffered. The people that were there, the Trail of Tears before them. You know, we call it the invasion. The indigenous call it the invasion. You know, they were raped, murdered, sold, you know, killed, you know, you name it. Those things have happened to those people. What happens to the people also happens to the land. There's a connection between the and the land. There is no separation. So feeling is that the land is also wounded too, particularly maybe in that area. You know, there has to be some sort of healing done. There has to be some sort of reconciliation. There has to be some sort of understanding. People have to go back to that land and heal what's there. And part of what's there is the people that were taken, raped, murdered, killed, destroyed, you know, all those things. And, you know, there has to be some sort of restoration, of peace going on there. We always want to bring light to a situation. You know, we just don't recognize the darkness, but we have to also bring the light, too. And, you know, part of the darkness is the light. Part of the light is the darkness, you know. So, you know, so in any given situation, we have to go, you know, we have to go there. You know, we have to remember the land. We have to talk. We physically, there are ceremonies that I've been at, that I do, that help reconcile that, that help heal that, you know, and we go there. We, as indigenous, we make offerings, which is something so foreign to the colonial. You know, the colonial minds think that it doesn't complete the circle. That's what I'm saying. Like, if we're always asking, then the circle goes one way. It's a one-way street. But in ceremony and in life, as in the seasons, as in the moon cycles, there's phases. So when we go to ceremony, we have to make that offering that opens up the door to complete the circle. So what we would do is we would go to that place of hurt. And that place of hurt could look like anything. So we go there, we make offerings. We use, as indigenous, we use tobacco. That's that's the traditional method. I'm using the most convenient definition. So it would be to open up the door, to make that request for our prayers to be heard. So we would do that. And then we would spend some time listening. And then we would spend some time praying. And then we would spend some more time listening. And then we would leave an offering, some sort of healing, some sort of understanding, saying that I know that you're hurt. That's what we'd be saying to the spirits. That's what we'd be saying to the land. That's what we'd be saying to those things, those spirits that left that trail marker. Those spirits are dying for a relationship. They are dying for a place of community. They are dying for a place of ceremony, a place of love, a place of please listen to me. When we're hurt, we want something, somewhere, someone to listen to us. They haven't had that yet. There's unfinished business there. There's unfinished healing there. So we would go there, introduce ourselves in the appropriate way, tell them what our intentions are, place some tobacco there at their altar, not at ours. We are coming here.
I got a question for you, Wayne. I've been
yes.
finding feathers all over my place. What is the meaning of that when I'm finding feathers? Or is there a meaning of that? I'm finding feathers like blue jays, all kinds of small feathers to doves and things like that.
That's a beautiful question. Those are medicine. Any kind of feather is from the eagle clan. And every individual bird carries some individual medicine. So I don't know what kind of medicine you have, but it would appear to be that they're trying to make contact with you. They're trying to get your attention. Maybe they're giving you medicine that you need. Maybe there's some sort of healing in your life. Maybe you're not hearing quite as good. Maybe you're not singing quite as good. There's a lot of songbirds out there that leave a lot of feathers that tell us all the time that we need to sing more. We just need to sing more. And in the indigenous world, that makes a lot of sense to us, you know, sing, you know, the ancient sacred songs, you know, and you know, carries a heartbeat of Mother Earth. That would be something I would tell you to look at. I would take those feathers. I would honor those feathers. I would leave tobacco for those feathers as a thank you. Thank you for these feathers. I would place those feathers.
Yeah, I'm finding them every day. I go out in my yard even before I go down to the creek, and there's just feathers all over the place.
Yes,
and you know, it's like, you know, the woo-woo crowd. You know, the white man says, "Oh yeah, you know, oh that means your guardian angels are with you and everything." And it's just like, I just don't connect like that. I don't, you know, there's a reason for this.
Well,
and
no. Right.
You know,
different
colors mean something, and all your chakras and stuff like that. It's just interesting. But it's interesting. But yeah, there is definitely a message. And like you said, I need to go and research further and talk to them and find out. Because, eagle. I see eagle all the time. Eagle.
The first questions I would have would be directly to the birds. Ask them. They are dying for a relationship with you. They have left a part of themselves for you. Like, let's switch this around a second. Say there's a person that you want to get a hold of, and you cut off a little bit of your hair and you leave it for them. That's what they're doing. They're taking a piece of themselves. They're taking a piece of themselves and offering it to you. And what are you doing with it? Are you ironing it, ignoring it?
I save them.
Good. That's good. Love that. Love up on them. Absolutely. Say thank you. You should be saying gratitude prayers from now until, you know, whenever. But
you know, gratitude. Thank you. I'm so honored. Thank you. Here's some tobacco. Thank you. Leave it right next to the feather as you pick it up. Leave it there. Let them know. You know,
okay.
The tobacco is a direct source to Creator. Not only opens the door, but it delivers our prayers. So say a good prayer.
Okay.
You know, say a good prayer. Hold it to your heart. And, you know, when the feather comes, lay it down right next to that feather as an offering. Not as a payment, but as an offering. So just say thank you. Thank you.
Okay. That's awesome. Wow.
I will hold
Yeah, we got a lot of birds around here. You know, we got, we're so happy.
Yes.
Very, very blessed. We've got a blue heron living out here. Sometimes we have vultures circling around.
You know,
we've got crow.
Right.
So a lot of,
right.
You know, it's good. But, yeah, every day I'm finding even the down feathers, the baby, the under hairs, the first, you know, feathers.
Tells us to be
I
soft.
I feed the birds, too,
tells
every day.
To
walk
so. Yep.
Crazy, but I do feed them.
Good. Yeah, good. You know, continue to make those offerings. Continue to pray. Continue to listen. You know what they're telling me right now is that some of that medicine is not meant for you, but is meant for you to be given to someone else. That's what they're saying.
It's not meant for me, but what is it, Wayne?
No. Here, well, some of the medicine, what they're telling me now, is some of that medicine is meant for you to give to somebody else.
Oh, okay.
So maybe,
wow.
Maybe it's not all about you.
Oh my goodness! Wonderful. Yes.
No.
Hey, it's not all about you, Sherry.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Say that again, Maria.
This is not all about
you. It's not all about you.
Yeah.
Those are wonderful subtle reminders to connect. It really is to find the feathers.
That's awesome. Save them and give them as a gift.
Absolutely. Pray with them. But make very clear what that medicine is. So when you give it, that medicine is really clear. Because we don't want to give anything that we're not clear at. So just simply ask. Sit with it. Enjoy the process. This is a beautiful process for you. I'm so excited for you. Just sit with it. Just listen to it. Just turn off everything. Go in the woods. Go right where you found it. Sit and listen. And Spirit's going to tell you some beautiful things. Spirit's going to tell you when you're at Walmart or, you know, when you're at Home Depot, you know, Spirit's going to tap you on the shoulder. And, you know, that there's a guy in plumbing that needs that feather. And
good.
He will understand.
Oh my goodness.
He will understand what is there. So this is how deep it goes. This is how powerful it goes. You know, the Spirit's choosing you to be a conduit for him.
I never thought about that way, Wayne.
Yes.
Thank you. See?
Yes.
That's great.
It's beautiful.
But yes,
isn't it so
something
beautiful,
new. Just
big,
meditate and find out why I'm giving it and what the purpose and be really be very clear once I pass it over. Exactly. That makes sense.
Exactly.
There you go.
And
that's
medicine,
a piece of the puzzle.
Yep. And that medicine that you give, the more clear the message you have, the more powerful that message, that medicine will be when you give it. It's just beautiful power. You're in a beautiful position, you know, to help guide people, to love people, you know, and that's, you know, I'm honored to be talking to you. What a beautiful billions of people in this world, and your Spirit chose you to carry this medicine for Spirit.
And so happened that we connected, you know, not by accident, but divine purpose or whatever you would call it. There was a reason why I reached out and we connected right away. Mm-hmm.
It was just
a fluke. I wouldn't say it's a fluke, but most people are like, oh my gosh, yeah. Definitely. And I do live in a portal. I have a couple portals on my land. I can feel them. And when I do connect with the Creator, it's pretty intense. And I do it in the early in the morning. I found that if I can do it early in the morning, that I'm the most clearest and get the messages right away so that I can continue on my journal. So, but at
absolutely.
Night I don't. I don't at night because there's
light.
Too many
yep.
mosquitoes,
yeah.
and they love type O blood, so I don't go out
right.
there at night.
Right, right. You know, they say, you know, the old ones say that at first light is one of the most powerful times of the day. So you just reconfirmed what the old ones have told us all.
Really?
So,
yeah, morning time.
Absolutely.
It's not like 5 or 6. It's usually when I get up in the morning, have my cup of coffee, go down and go down by
sure.
the creek, and
yeah.
there's rushing water, and it's quiet,
yes,
and
I love it. Oh my God.
There are trees all over the place, and I just connect.
Absolutely.
I really do. I'll have to share
yeah,
some
yeah.
photos of you because the portal's there, and I've had my cat that was deceased. Maria has seen it. My cat
uh-huh.
was deceased, and within, I think, 3 months, I think, after he passed over, I took
oh,
a picture,
okay.
and he was floating on the water. You can see him. He was looking straight
wow,
at me, floating
wow.
on top of the water.
Wow. You see a lot of orbs there?
There has, but I don't look for them anymore. I know that they're around, and especially
okay.
at the full
yeah,
moon,
yeah, yeah.
a lot of drumming. You know, it's interesting. I have these trees here. I don't know if you ever heard about the Tillamook Burn, and it was like in the 1800s or something. There's still trees that have remnants of the Tillamook Burn. I live between the coast and Portland. And these
uh-huh.
trees, some
right.
of these are about 100, maybe 150 years old, and they're cedars. So you know what cedar
wow.
is. Cedars and
wow.
firs. And so when you look at it, there are a lot of ancient, old ones, like you said. And there's a couple times, you know, I don't mess with it anymore, but a couple times, I'm not kidding you, I don't have the picture. I unfortunately deleted it. I got so excited,
yeah.
I deleted it. But there was a
yeah.
picture of an indigenous, a Native American. He was not a chief. He was just a warrior. And embedded in the tree itself, you can see it was plain as day. I've had people see
wow.
it. They Native, right? And it was embedded into the tree trunk. But I got so excited, I deleted it, and it's like, you know we are here. Why do you have to ask? You already know, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I try to, you know, connect with them as much. Very ancient, very old spirits. And they're watching, a lot of them. You know, there's a couple people that come out to my house, and they said, we're being watched. I said, yeah, you are. You know, they're just watching, peering in behind the trees, you know, like, who are you? We're checking you out kind of thing. I said, yep. But, yes, the energy's really changed compared to when I first moved in. You know, I was really scared when I first moved in. I was very, very scared. I used to... You know, being in the, you know, hearing dead people and then going into the paranormal and everything else is like, oh my gosh, are there going to be people like, what do you call it, black eyed children popping up, you know, or black eyed adults, you know? But no, I actually, that's, like I said, after the exorcism, it really changed my life. And you know, the ancient ones or whatever, the ancestors, just started talking to me. And I really connected with them, and that's how my whole life started changing as far as, you know, being able to be their voice, I think, I guess. Yeah, it's crazy. Hello?
Is Wayne still there?
Yes. I don't know. It's again. I was. I didn't want to be real and keep on talking. Are you there, Wayne?
I just called back. Yep.
There
okay.
you are.
There you are. Okay. Oh my gosh. So anyway,
yeah.
I love it. I love connecting. Just spending the time.
And reconnecting. Yeah.
So, like, you live in Florida. So, are you? I have cousins out in Florida. Are you out in the beach? Are you literally out in the beaches there, or are you inland?
I am North Miami Beach, in the north part.
You're cutting in and out. Are you hearing that, Maria?
Yeah.
Hello?
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello, can you hear me now?
A little bit towards the end. Can you hear me now? I heard that.
Yeah.
Okay. Must
okay.
be your
okay.
location
yes.
or...
Is this better?
Yes, it's better. That's
yes.
better.
Okay. All right. Okay. I moved the other part of the room. So.
Okay.
So
what were you going to say?
I'm about 5 minutes from the beach where I live. So. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which is nice. Nice until the hurricane comes, you know, and then we're the first ones to be evacuated. So, not
really.
Not
today,
Well,
yeah,
you know,
you've got a system coming towards you sometime next week too, don't you?
Oh, do we? Oh, I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah. Come on, Wayne. I'm in Kentucky, and I know what's going on in Florida. This is scary.
Yeah.
I love the beach. We were just there a couple days ago, and I love being out in the woods, but I do love the beach, and you know, was able to ground myself with water, and it was amazing. And the shot that I took, the waves and everything, it was majestic. It was absolutely the waves, the moderate winds, and the sun was just glistening. It was just amazing. Just beautiful.
Oh, that's beautiful. It's beautiful. I love it.
I can't hear you.
You can hear me?
I couldn't hear you. I didn't know what. Did you hear him, Maria?
I did just stand.
I'm here.
Wayne, I've got a question for you.
Yeah. Okay.
And maybe, of course, you'll be the one to help me with this.
Okay.
I have cattle. I live in a remote area.
Okay.
I live pretty near to a huge cave system called Mammoth Cave. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have a little fire pit that I thoroughly enjoy, and I think one evening I was out there and I had a fire going and it was really quiet, me and my dog. And I see for just a second, just one glimpse of a Native American. I can tell you his face was painted, but he was just standing there. His hair was down. I did not feel threatened. I felt excited that I actually...
He's a warrior.
He was comfortable enough with me to show himself. I have given tobacco offerings before, but I don't think I'm doing it enough.
Okay. I kind of lost you for the last minute. Can you kind of repeat that?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll just kind of start over. I got a glimpse of a Native American, and I could see his face paint. And I could see, of course, he was standing there, and his hair was down.
Okay.
I didn't feel threatened at all. I felt completely excited that he was comfortable enough with me to show himself, to let me know he was there. I have given tobacco offerings before, but I don't think I'm doing enough. Sometimes I feel like I need to do more for them.
Okay.
What's enough?
What is enough?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah,
what's enough? Because, I mean, my land, I have not altered the land. I haven't cut down any trees. I run cattle.
Okay.
It's a little old Kentucky farmer girl. Sometimes I feel like I don't acknowledge them enough.
Okay.
What do you mean enough? Why are you saying you haven't acknowledged them enough?
I just don't think I do enough.
Well, let's see. Well, you know, let's see when's the last time you made an offering.
Oh, it's been a little while.
Okay.
My husband passed away about a year and a half ago, and I have
been
dealing with that. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I've kind of been dealing with that, so I kind of feel like I've lost a little bit, and I need to get back into it.
Yes, right. Okay. Well, this is when we offer, when we make that connection, that's what we're doing. We're connecting. And that will help you in all areas of your life. If you feel disconnected in any kind of area, any kind of offering will help. A direct offering would be better. But as far as a general kind of gratitude for this particular gentleman who showed himself to you, he may be some sort of guide. He may be some sort of wisdom keeper that's helping you in the moment, the time being, situationally. I would definitely make I make offers every day. That's just the way I do things. I'm just gratitude and thank you. You know, the more offerings we make, the more connected we are. So really that question is up to you to see how connected you really want to be to the world around you. And particularly in this situation, to the Native American gentleman who showed himself to you. Again, there's millions of spirits out there, but this particular one showed himself to you, and that tells me that he's carrying some sort of medicine for you. He's walking with you right now. He's supporting you right now in some way, whether he's you or I don't know. But you know, when that offering,
So Wayne, what's your feeling on Christianity putting in the mix on this one?
Oh, well, I'm not a Christian, so I wouldn't have a lot to say. You know, it's as far as spirits go, they're out there. There's real. I'm not talking to you right now. And again, it just simply goes back to building that community, building that relationship. You know, there's medicine there that has to be given, and there's medicine there that has to be taken, and tobacco does. You know, as far as Christianity goes, there's so many different brands and kinds. You know, I just really wouldn't even begin to broach that question yet until I really know what to say about that. You know,
right.
My feeling.
I got a question for you. What do you think about what does the indigenous people or the Native Americans think about having different kinds of rocks, whether it's turquoise, whether it's quartz and lapis lazuli or tourmaline or those kind of things? How do they see those things as far as having in the medicine bag different kinds of rocks to carry or have in possession?
Beautiful question. You know, it's kind of same thing with the feathers. There's a lot of different kind of feathers that carry a lot of different kind of medicines. You know, and this is a general kind of answer. This is not a particular tribe or region. This is what I've been taught. Medicines come in all different forms. You know. There's earth medicine. There's there's a voice medicine. When I say I love you, that's a medicine there. And so the same thing with a stone or a rock, that's some sort of, you know, medicine. And each stone carries just a little different medicine. You know, Creator doesn't make mistakes, you know, does not make mistakes. Everything's there for a reason. There's medicine there, you know. And so when you carry that medicine, when you use that medicine gets that much stronger. It's particularly when you spend time listening to it, praying with it, honoring it, you know. Saying like, we would be much, much closer if we prayed every day, side by side. I say prayers for you, you say prayers for me. After a week of doing that, we would be in a much more spiritually intimate place. The same thing. That doesn't mean that you've listened.
I can't hear you. You're cutting really in and out. There's no, I don't even know what you're saying. Can you hear him, Maria? Hello? Hello? Okay. I guess I'm running the show. I don't know what happened, but things are kind of connection, or spirit has a way of manipulating things. I don't know, but yes, we'll see if we can. Hopefully, Maria will be able to get on, or Wayne.
I'm here, but I think.
Okay, good. Am I talking to myself? It's like, oh my gosh.
No, here's the.
Oh my goodness, this is crazy.
His call is
but
dropped.
Yeah, things happen for
in.
A reason, and you know, I think that sometimes it's the connection. It could be just the internet connection from where he's at right now.
Yeah.
Are you having
trouble? He will probably come.
Okay.
Pardon?
So, but yeah, it's interesting, huh, Maria? It's how we can get connected with everything that's around us, huh?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Oh my goodness!
And it is pretty amazing. And that prayer is something that you need to do every day. You've got to talk to and whoever it is you're praying to. That is something
well, I'm deficient
that we,
in that.
We've
I don't make it a point every day.
That is something we've lost. And even if you're just trying to spread light, share light, send light, just whatever you want to do. Okay, Wayne's called back in.
Okay.
All right,
hey.
Wayne, I've got you back.
There he is.
Yes. Yes, I'm
we
sorry
lost
about
you
that.
Guys. We lost you. Here you're kind of, and I was like, oh wow, this is crazy. Are you there? Okay, we're losing him again. Okay, so go ahead, Maria. What you're saying that we'll have to, you know, try and pray every day if we can.
Yeah, it keeps telling me that his phone. There he is.
Okay.
Yeah, we got you.
Okay.
Yeah, we got you.
Okay.
So,
I've been kind of neglecting on that part. It's an excuse, but I've been so busy. It's like it's crazy. But yeah, it is a priority. I do want to get closer to spirit and our Creator, and being able to really connect with our ancient ones and our ancestors. I see what you're saying, Wayne, with the different rocks. We can connect with different things. And, you know, I find myself, and this is just me, I don't have to have those material things. It's like me in medical Qigong. You know, my professor said, well, if I taught you before I went into Chinese medicine school, if I taught you the needle, what happens if you don't have the needles with you? I was like, darn. I said, I guess I'm going to have to use your hands. He says, you're going to find yourself more powerful using your hands than with a needle. So anyway, that's what I learned. It's like, oh, you know, in the woo-woo field and in here, I don't know if it's up there in where you live, but, you know, people have to buy and spend money on rocks and things and that, this and that and everything else. And it's like, I have access myself. I have access to all that. I don't need it physically in my hands.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, you know, that's fine too. That's fine too.
Yeah,
spirit
the
works.
Feathers are one thing, but you know, when it comes to rocks, it's nice if you're given a gift. But you get, you know, there are people that get really, and I'm not judging them. It's good. There's a reason, but they get expensive, and you're spending sometimes maybe. Yeah, it's lucky $5 or $10, but some of these rocks can be $35, $65 a piece. Where do you stop, you know?
Right, right, sure, right, right. Well, you know, I mean, I would just ask Spirit, what do I need for my personal healing? What do I need to help others? And just leave it at that. You know, when we start mixing. When we start mixing energies, like green energy, like money energy, things get distorted. You know, we have conversations like we're having now. Those medicines will find you when we start putting it out there. Those medicines will find us. That's just the way it is. And you know, the modern world calls it like a law of attraction, but it's just something that we've known forever. You know, when we put it out there, the universe conspires to make it happen, you know. And so the medicine that we need most will be shown to us, will be given to us. And it's usually not at like a rock and gem shop. It's really not. It's usually walking down the path and just seeing a little grandfather. That's what we call them, little stones, big stones, any kind of stones are grandfathers. And you will start hearing, and every stone has it, like a different voice. Every stone has a different medicine, you know. So, you know, when we're aware of that, those voices, when we're in that place that we can really listen, really tune in, really listen, those medicines will call out to us, you know. And I found beautiful medicines just sitting by the beaches in really odd places. It's a really... You know, the stone will be calling out to me, and I said, "Okay, that's it." You know, and I carry it, and I listen to it, and quite a few stones like that on my altar right now. You know, and so that's, you know.
Wow.
And, you know,
like
some
today,
medicine.
I just saying, when after I got done, I found a nickel. My husband dropped me off in a Vietnamese store, grocery store.
Uh-huh.
As I walked.
Yep.
Into the store, came back, I picked up a nickel. So I don't know. I was like, wow, this is so cool. It was a gift. I found it.
That's
as a
good.
Gift. I looked at it as a gift.
Absolutely. It's all gifts. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Accept it. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I did. I find gifts like that, little gifts like that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. That's for, like, that's for wealth. And wealth doesn't necessarily mean financial rewards. It means of health. You know, the greatest wealth is health. You know, that's what they say. You know, so, or you know, giving medicines. That's, you know, that's wealth too. You know, so it could be, you know, listening to that. I would spend a little time listening to that nickel. Hey, what do you got? You know, what do you got for me? What can I do? How can I help? You know. Yeah. Where do you want
well,
to go?
Well, if it's wealth, it coincides with the reading I had today. I had one of
Beautiful.
My clients that came to me, and he said, Sherry. He says, and he took his hat off because I didn't recognize him. He came up to my booth, and he said, Sherry. He said, do you recognize me? I said, oh, yes, you're in Chinese medicine too. And he goes, yes. And he goes, and I gave him a big hug. We talked. I met his wife. And I said, hey, how's it going? We had a really quick conversation. He says, do you mind? He says, do you mind? You want to do a quick exchange? I said, sure. So we sat down, listened to my tongue. Saw my tongue, my pulse. I mean, that's a different way of diagnosing the body and everything. He says,
man,
you are strong compared to what you were last time. He goes, you're, and so if you're saying that, it's some kind of wealth, it only, you know, coincides to what wealth is, you know, like a coin, you know.
It's all in alignment when we're in the space to see it. So,
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, because he said all my organs and everything is very strong. And compared to when he saw me probably about 4 months ago, he said I had some stress and, you know, things like that. And then I read him. And, yeah, it was very interesting. Very good. Very good. Thank you. Thank you for your input. I appreciate it.
Wow. Absolutely.
So, you know, it's like you said, you listen to everything, the trees, the wind. I mean, I even, you know, I like listening to the wind. When we have winds, you know, we got a lot of trees, and it's almost like they have a song. They have a song to tell you, you know, the reason why they communicate with each other. They're there. They thrive. They get along. It's when you look at it from a spiritual point of view, they're all there. They're so different. Each pattern, each one, trees, everything, they all cohabitate and get along with each other. You know, it's amazing. It's a beautiful tapestry.
It's a symphony of the spirit, you know. And you know, when we really sit back, we quiet down, we listen, we notice, we hear. You know, when we do that, the more we listen, you know, the more we hear, and the more symphony, the more beautiful it is, you know, and it draws us in. It draws us in, you know.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Keep on listening. Did you say you got some new stones? Did you say that?
Did I get some new stones?
Yeah.
No, I didn't get any new stones lately. I've been, something's been telling me to get rid of my stones. It's almost like I'm done using them. I clear them, cleanse them, and I pass them on. And that's really what's been going on with me. It's like I don't need, if I need to access those stones, I feel like, honestly, Wayne, I don't feel like I need them physically to access the metaphysical or the spiritual properties of them. But when I'm done, it feels like, okay, it's time to pass them on to somebody that could use it, cleanse it, and give it a new life.
Good. Absolutely. That's good. Absolutely.
And Spirit tells me when I need a new stone, I go for color. I scan. As a matter of fact, last week I was looking for peace. What peace was I getting? I think I was getting, I think it was not a lapis. It was bluish. No, I'm sorry. Wrong. Selenite. I got a piece of selenite. I just use my hands and I can tell which one is good. You know, which one is good. So I bought three pieces. You're right. I did get a piece last week. I got three pieces of selenite hearts. And I two of them are going to go to my daughters.
Okay, good.
So that's what spoke to me is to get the selenite. It was very, the energy was just... It was really strong. It's like, okay, this is speaking to me. It's time to get it, so I'm going to gift it to my oldest daughter. And the other one I got was for my youngest daughter, and I'm going to keep one for myself. So we all three have a piece of selenite heart, I don't know if you know, Maria, but selenite is very good for cleansing other stones if you have them. It doesn't need to be cleared. They can cleanse other stones.
Please. All the stones that I have a lot of the rose quartz. I've got that everywhere.
Ooh, those are beautiful.
Huge, huge pieces of it. And I've got the smoky, the black quartz. I've got a lot of
beautiful.
That, too.
Beautiful.
And
nice.
I've got a lot of the white crystals, too.
Good. Good.
Don't use them, but I have them. They are beautiful. They are very beautiful.
Yeah.
So, Wayne, let me ask you, I got a question, too. What about when you have not only feathers, but I was literally gifted a bear claw, and I gave that away at the time. I thought, okay, I don't have any use for it, but I gifted it to somebody who was really wanting to have a medicine pouch, and I gave it to him as a gift. What do you think about having, you know, people have rabbit's bracelets and bear claws or anything like that, you know?
Well, first, I would say if you're thinking about gifting anything, you know, contact spirit, you know, simply and ask that medicine, no matter what it is, like a feather or stone or a piece of herb or something like that. I would simply ask the medicine, where would you like to go? Would you like to stay here? Would you like to be gifted? Where, this is the most important question, where are you most needed? Where can you be of most service, you know?
Okay.
And again, you know, to kind of the standard thing, you know, make that offering, open that door, ask those questions, sit, listen, and sometimes you'll have this overwhelming feeling of you know, giving it to a particular person. That's your intuitive spiritual voice. Follow that, you know. You may not understand. We may never understand why that person needs that particular medicine. But it's really not up to us to understand. It's really up to us just to listen and to follow, you know. You know, because the direction, the guidance that spirit has with that person, we'll probably never know. We'll never know. We're a cog in the wheel to make that happen, you know. So, you know, if you felt drawn to that, then absolutely, that spirit telling you to offer it, in a good way, you know.
So what is it about, you know, I have a lot of blackberries, so we've been cutting out the blackberries.
Okay.
You know, I don't find that it's, and this is me, I try to, you know, it can be overridden. Your place can be overridden with blackberries if you don't cut it back, but...
Right.
I don't need poison, but I pull them out. So.
Okay. Right.
My place would look like a jungle if I left everything, you know, natural.
That's okay.
But I do want to form a, and this is what's been really egging me on. But I'm trying to find a location, and again, I'm gonna. Connect with spirit, but I want to create a medicine wheel with stones. I have rocks from the beaches, and I've been collecting them. I've been asking if I can remove them. I got a lot of different rocks,
Awesome.
And I want to go and create a medicine wheel with the rocks. So,
Beautiful.
Yet to be seen because I haven't figured out a spot yet. So,
okay, you know, let me just add one. You know, one beautiful thing that you did, you asked the stone. That's so important. Those stones that are there in a pile along a river, those stones around it, that's their family. That's their family right there. So when you ask that stone, you are asking the stone to be taken away from its family.
That's so beautiful.
We don't take any. That's the same thing with berries. That's the same thing when we collect cedar, when we collect any kind of medicines, any kind of herbs like that. You know, we are taking a family member. So we make that offering of gratitude and thank you. And say, may I take you? Extend an explanation why. And you did it beautifully. You said, you know, you ask the stone, you know, can I take you? And this is what it's for. It's for healing. This is for medicine circle, a medicine wheel. That's beautiful. You know, so I just want to pat you on the back and say good job. Because most people most people don't know to ask. You know, when we take anything from nature.
I do, because you know why? I feel like the reason why I ask when I go to the beach, and I haven't been doing it lately, but I've got enough.
Yeah.
I've got to work with what I have. I don't want to get greedy, but what I do, it's like displacing them. That's what I feel. The spirit of that stone, you're displacing it. And you want to ask permission because you are taking something that is out of their natural environment into another maybe natural environment, but it's like you said, it's a family. I never thought about that way as a family, but, you
all
know, it's just out of me.
Yeah.
I do that,
Everything's a family, whether, you know, there's a lot of hunting that goes on up here. You know, I'm on the reserve. 9% of the meat that elders eat, it's hunted in the fall to make them through the winter. Now, when the hunters go out, they make that clear. This is. I'm sorry that I have to take your life. I'm sorry I have to take the medicine. This is for so our elders can live. I realize I'm taking brothers, sisters, mothers, cousins. I realize all that, and we make that offering. So it's really important. You know, and it goes for berries. It goes for trees. When we cut down trees, it goes for everything. Whatever we use right now in daily life is taken from a family.
You know, it's interesting because we have people come up here, and I thank goodness that my husband is able to be very vigilant. But we have road hunters out here, so they'll be in their vehicle, their four-wheel drive, you know, and they would go and just start hunting from their car. And I'm just really, you know, I'm against hunting deer and elk. They have to me, it's just like they leave them alone. You know, they have their own, I don't know. I'm big on animal rescues and preserving that kind of stuff.
Beautiful, good, yeah. No, that's good, you know. Awareness is good, you know.
Sure, they just start hunting and they'll go on our property and they'll just start hunting on our property. And it's like they, you know, and then they'll say, have you seen the signs? My husband will say, have you seen the signs? Oh, and they'll play in and say, oh, I've never seen the signs. Oh, yeah, they do know. You know, they just, oh, it's terrible. So that's why sometimes you have to be very stern and have boundaries. And, you know, I wrote a thing about that, about, you know, the people, you know, the human conscious, most human conscious don't have boundaries. You know, you have to create boundaries because they don't have respect for the land, let alone the people.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And it really just begins with simple awareness, you know. You know, if there is a next stage in human evolution, it will begin with awareness. That's where it has to begin.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. And I think that's what's wrong with our country sometimes is not only having awareness, but also with the ego involved. You have the ego played into it, then, you know, you're looking at yourself, not the collection of mankind and the consciousness of our future.
Right.
So say a little bit about your new book. If you can say anything, you want to wait.
What's your new book going to be about? Yes, thank you. I've been working on this book. The background of this book, the backstory is I have been my prayer, and this has started out from a prayer about probably 10 years ago. I started to say this, and it's a very, very simple prayer, and it's to Creator. And I say simply, Creator, I will go wherever you want me to go. Creator, I will do whatever you want me to do, which simply means that I will be a conduit of a vessel for you. In indigenous terms, we like to use the term hollow bones. So we are the flow of the spirit, the flow of Creator flowing through me. And so I would do this with my daily meditations. I would, you know, I have several books, and I would just read a simple passage, and I would sit there and I would pray, and I would get connected, and then I would pick up another book, and I would sit there, read a little passage, you know, anything that helps me get connected. And then when the advent of social media, I started putting what helped me on social media. So it was really very simple, and it's really just as simple as that. And so over the last 10 years, I would get these intuitive thoughts, these intuitive teachings, these spiritual teachings, and I would just write them down. And one day I was asking Spirit what I should do. And Spirit said, well, why don't you put them all in the book? And I said, okay, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I can't believe I didn't think of it myself. So I started collecting these short spiritual sayings, these affirmations, and I put them into a book. And so they're really meant to be, you know, again, to just simply read. They're meant to be listened to in stillness and in silence. I realize people don't have a lot of time and they can't read pages and pages of you know, meditations like that. So I designed this book to be very, very, just very simple and straightforward. You have a couple of minutes, you have 5 or 10 minutes, read this, sit with it, and you know, allow this prayer medicine, allow this meditation medicine to work for you, for your connection to Spirit. And the name is Daily Medicine, and it will be coming out. Pre-order is October 1st, and it will be available worldwide in e-form. In all forms, October 30th. And I would like to thank my publisher, Blue Fortune Enterprises. She's my publisher, Nariella Living, to give me the opportunity to publish this book. So I'm very, very excited about it.
Well, send me a copy because I would like to not only support small business, but I would like to just get your book.
Thank you. Yeah, it's you know, it's the same stuff that we've been talking about tonight. You know, just you know, different little angle, little different direction. It's all really basic stuff that people just kind of forgotten how to do. You know, forgotten how to connect. You know, this is all about connection. This is all about building a community with the world, with all life out there. There's so much beauty out there. There's so much beauty out there. And this, I'm so honored that Spirit chose me to kind of create the vessel for people to create that community, create that relationship for themselves. And I'm really honored that Spirit chose me to do that. So.
You're their voice too, you know, for Spirit. Go and translate that so that people can understand.
Yes. And you know, again, I'm just humbled. I'm honored, and this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. You know, if Creator wants me to write books the rest of my life, I'm more than happy to do that. If Spirit wants me to do ceremonies, I'm more than happy to do that. You know, and I'm just, you know, whatever Creator needs me to do, I'm ready, willing, and able to do it. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
So yeah, it's all good. It's just like you said, being aware and just being able to serve, you know, serve mankind and giving of yourself. It doesn't have to be monetarily, but just, you know, giving of yourself, doing something for somebody without being asked, or you know, extending yourself more so than, you know, just little things, just the very little things in our life to make our world a better place.
Absolutely. And I know it's from Spirit because it's not divisive. It's not divisive. It's all, the realm of the Spirit is roomy.
So what do you think is going to be happening on the world? What's your prediction, the way our world is happening, where there's so much you know, divide and things like that. What do you think is going to happen? What's your take on it, Wayne?
Well, you know, there's the prophecies that I pray attention to. The seventh fire. This is the end of the seventh world. So I don't know what that means. I have my own personal opinions. This could be the beginning of the end of beginning of new beginnings. I think is in our future. Yes. So whatever that looks like, just keep praying. The real message is look for beauty. The real message, the beauty is still out there, you know, beauty, you know. This world is
yeah,
so...
Yeah, we can collaborate.
Still,
I mean, instead of... Yeah, it's...
world is
I, you know, I was
yes.
watching... I don't know about Maria, but was that pipeline that was going through? I was watching about Standing Rock. That's what it was. I was watching
Standing
that,
Rock.
And I really was
yes.
interested in that.
Yes, yeah. I actually... I was real interested in going out there. And so I went to ceremony. I know we're running out of time, so I'm going to make this quick. So I simply prayed about it. And Spirit told me, I was in Miami, and Spirit told me to stay where you are, to take care of the people coming and going from Standing Rock. And you know, what a beautiful place to be. You know, people were traumatized there. There was wounds made there, huge wounds, you know, not only in Mother Earth, but in the individual spirits broken, seeing, you know, grandmothers, you know, tortured, beaten, you know, water cannon, you know, clergy, water cannon, all horrifying, horrific stuff, you know. And Creator said, I need you more in Miami to take care of those people coming home. And I said, okay. That's perfect. That's the place where I was, supposed to be. That was the place I was supposed to be. I honored it. So whenever, whenever a water protector came back, you know, I was very open, very clear that if you need a lodge, if you need a ceremony, I am more than willing to help you and to provide that. So.
That's awesome. Did you follow that, Maria?
I did, and it broke my heart, and I quit watching it. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too emotional, huh?
I mean, it's ridiculous. And it's, news would show you what they wanted you to see, and they weren't showing you the true things that were going on, just as normal. And there's absolutely nothing you could do about it. Nothing. And it was sickening.
Right.
I was mentally distraught myself. It just made me more upset, to be honest with you. I just was more PO'd about it. I felt like the injustices were just astronomical.
I'm of the opinion that. No matter where we are, we can always make a difference. You know, we can always make a difference. It doesn't matter what they do, but it matters what I do. What I do matters more than what they're doing. So, that being said, you know, taking care of those people coming back was great. But one of those things, you know, there's a lot of lessons that came out of Sandy Rock. One of the biggest lessons is, and Spirit was screaming into my ear with this, would not let this go. was that we have to pray for everybody. It was one of those situations where Spirit said, you pray for everybody or you don't pray for anybody. You know, we just can't pray for the water protectors, the ones standing on the front lines, ones getting arrested, the ones going to the hospital. We have to pray. Spirit said this. Spirit said we have to pray for the Warren County Sheriff. Spirit said we have to pray for the mercenaries that the oil companies brought in. They call them contractors. The contractors that the big oil brought in. You know, there's a lot of different, you know, government agencies that were there too. The FBI, I mean, NSA, FBI, they were all there. You know, we have to pray for all of them.
Military, everything. Yeah, that's true.
Otherwise, it just doesn't work. If you don't pray for everybody, then this just won't work. So prayers of love and light and healing have to go out to everybody. And that was my simple prayer. That was simple as it was powerful. And those prayers are still going on today. I still include them in my prayers. I people say we lost at Standing Rock. We may have lost the battle, but I think we've gone a long way to winning the war. We showed the world what unity looks like.
That's great.
We showed the world what unity looks like. 500 nations were there. 500 indigenous nations were there. When in the last time in history were 500 nations standing together, indigenous nations? Not even counting the clergy that were there from all different sects and denominations standing with those 500 nations. And then tell me that we lost. That spirit, there's no energy there, says that we lost. And the most powerful thing is we took what we learned there and everybody that was there spread out to the four winds. So they're spread everywhere now. The lessons we learned there are now everywhere. Those lessons of unity are everywhere. Those songs that they sung there are now everywhere. The oil company may have won the battle, but I think Spirit won the war. And the more times we go together, the more times we'll win. That's it, you know. That unity, that collective unity, that is victory right there. That is victory right there.
That's a good point.
That is victory right there. You know, that's victory. That's spirit's victory right there. Unity. Spirit wants us to stand together. That's what Spirit wants. We are here to celebrate life together. That's why we are here. The purpose of life
happen
is to celebrate.
If it wasn't this circumstance, all the indigenous tribes wouldn't have come together.
Exactly. If the oil company didn't try to kill, murder, maim Mother Earth, we would have never gotten together.
Wow,
those
that's a good point
nations.
To do that.
Yeah.
So
there is
a little bit of there's a little bit of diamond in the rough anyway, huh?
I think it's a little bit more than the diamond in the rough, because the message from Standing Rock, we just talked about it right now. We just talked about it. All your listeners, your 20,000 listeners and from all over the world just heard that message from Spirit, just saying unity is victory. Unity is victory, you know. Unity is victory. Celebration of life is unity. It's all, and it's good. And it's good, you know. So, you know, the mere fact that we're talking about it now means we won tonight. We won tonight because we got that message across, you know.
Wow, you know, that's cool. Yeah.
Because that's the last message. That is the last message that Big Oil wants. Big Oil is not saying, yeah, I want 500 nations to stand together against us. That's not what Big Oil is praying for right now. But that's what we're talking about right now. And I think that's more powerful. That's more powerful. And if you sit with that, if you really, really sit with that, you listen, you let those voices and prayers echo, you will hear them. And then you will hear your spirit behind that. And then you will, you know, and it's a beautiful thing, you know. Makes you want to cry. It really does. It really, really does. You know, just the beauty of it, you know. So.
Well, I want to thank you, Wayne, for your service and how you spread your messages. And, you know, it is a beautiful thing. I really am just very privileged to get to know you and just connect with you. And I think there's always a reason why we do this, is because we're all learning and sharing and growing together, and it's helping everybody else, I hope. Just really hopefully that other people are open to not only believing but knowing that what you're saying is your own truth, and it's truth of spirit and truth of your ancestors and the ancient ones.
Yep. Thank you. Absolutely. All beautiful and all powerful. Thank you so much for having me on, Sherry.
Yes. We're very
thank you.
It's our pleasure.
Thank you. And we're glad to have you back on again.
Yes.
And
thank
sorry
you
for Jason to peel out. He's, you know, I haven't talked to him, but yes, we'll get a chance to talk to Jason when he is the original Paranormal Horizons and he
good,
was a
good,
paranormal
okay.
best- himself, but yes, we'd love to have you back. But
thank you for your time in
coming on Paranormal Horizon.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you,
you take care. Hey, everybody,
okay.
Have
thank
a good
you
night,
for listening.
Dear.
And yes, it's an
good
hour
night.
And a half, a little bit over the hour and a half. And yes, there's so much to cover when it comes to spirituality, especially with Native American. And again, we want to thank Wayne for spending his time to be able to share what his beliefs are in collective consciousness. Is there anything you need to say, Maria, before we get off air?
No, I'm very happy that Wayne was able to come on, and I hope his family is doing well, and we wish him the best.
Yes, definitely. So, anyway, until next week, we don't have a guest yet next week, but we hope to. So, I want to thank each and every person that is supporting our Facebook page and also listening. We can be heard from Spotify to iTunes to iHeartRadio, Spreaker, all the major podcasts you can still listen. And our producers are in the wings. They're getting ready to launch back on. So I'm really excited to have them back on radio and being, you know, a network station and that kind of thing. So I'm looking forward to having my own radio station, which is Portals to Enlightenment, Your Journey of Body, Mind, and Spirit. So, yes, thank you again for listening. And until next week, and...
Next
take
week
care.
We do have a guest. We have a guest. His name is Donnie Irvin, and he is with Weird Weekend. So we will be speaking with him on August 4th.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you, Maria. Yay. Cool. All right. So until next week, everybody, take care.
All right. Y'all have a good week. Bye-bye.
Peace.